because Ireland is a relatively small economy, the government can run that economy a bit like a business, and you can look where are the opportunities. And Ireland has done particularly well, that IDA and Enterprise Ireland, saying where will we concentrate our resources. And they've done that in the electronics and telecoms industry in the past. And then MedTech came along, and I think all things make it a good place for manufacturing and engineering and R&D.
Hello and welcome to the Digital Irish Podcast, a podcast all about celebrating Irish innovation and Irish innovators globally. I'm your host, Dave Byrne. Welcome to today's episode of the Digital Irish Podcast. If this is your first time listening, welcome. And if you have listened before, welcome back. Today, we're continuing our series that we are doing with Enterprise Ireland. This is the third in the series. So if you haven't listened to the previous two episodes, be sure to check those out after you've listened to this episode. We had a great session on AI 3 weeks ago with a panel of experts. Before that, we had Enterprise Ireland CEO Leo Clancy share Enterprise Ireland's vision for the future with us. Today, though, we are shifting the focus over to life sciences. Now, life sciences is an area that Enterprise Ireland has been supporting and helping businesses grow in for many, many years. And as a result of their work and the work of numerous different organizations and startups in the ecosystem, Ireland has really become a central hub for this industry. What we wanted to do with today's episode was speak to somebody who has had experience growing a business out of Ireland in this industry and has great insights and knowledge about why Ireland has become this kind of central hub for life sciences and how it can maintain this position in the industry. That is why we invited on John Power from Aerogen onto today's podcast. Now, if you don't know the work of John Power and Aerogen, firstly, a little about John himself. So you'll hear a little bit of a London accent coming out. His parents were originally Irish. He was born in London, but moved back to Ireland and has been in Ireland for many, many years. I was really inspired by John because you can really tell that his passion comes through. He's been growing Aerogen out of Ireland for 25 plus years, and the impact of their work, I won't spoil it for you because it's truly inspiring to hear. He is driven through purpose, determination, and wants to continue innovating. I really hope you enjoy it as well, and I'm just going to drop you straight in it. John, thank you so much for taking out the time to join us on the podcast today.
Not at all, Dave. I'm very happy to.
I'd love to begin with Aerogen itself, because life sciences is such a broad term. To kick us off, would you mind introducing Aerogen and what its focus is?
Yes, and you know, you're quite right. Life science is a very broad term, and we kind of span a couple of areas of life sciences. And if you think of Aerogen, really, our focus is on drug delivery, and that's taking, in our case, taking liquid drugs and turning them into aerosols so they can be inhaled for the treatment primarily of respiratory conditions, but really any means of taking a drug and transferring it through the lung into the bloodstream as well.
I'd love to hear the inspiration behind Aerogen. Like, what made you take this leap into founding Aerogen?
Well, I think one of my many lives in I'm an engineer, and I've worked across all lots of sectors: petrochem, aerospace, robotics, and I guess med tech for the last 30 years. But I had an aerospace joint venture that I was setting up to bring back to Ireland. Wasn't great time, and the aerospace industry took a bit of a dive, and I had to transfer onto something else. And I figured, what could I do? And I looked around Ireland at the time. There was a big movement towards medtech. Companies were starting to come in. And I thought, I could work in that area for a while. So I thought I'd get a job in a multinational in a med tech multinational for a couple of years, figure out how that industry works and go out and set up a business in a med tech related area. I joined a company, American multinational, that was involved in respiratory area and worked on the team developing a life support ventilator. Now, it took a bit longer than a couple of years. I was there 4.5 years, I think. During that time, I sort of learned a lot about the respiratory area of medicine. And in particular, there was a problem with ventilators that they patients who are ventilated in an ICU, you know, with a mask or intubated, trying to deliver drugs to them is a big problem because you can't ask someone when they're intubated and sedated to take a spoonful of medicine or a tablet. Really, your only means of delivery of drug to that patient is subcutaneous injections, intravenous, through the bloodstreams, or aerosolizing drug and delivering the drug into the respiratory tubing that is delivering gas to that patient. And really, the methods for delivery of, I figured, were very poor for drug delivery. So whereas all the big companies, the G Medicals, the Philips, the Medtronics, etc., were spending multiple millions developing ICU ventilators to keep people alive, no one had really solved the problem of how you could effectively deliver drugs in aerosol form to those patients. And that was really the catalyst behind it. As I say, I'm an engineer, and you know, we're solutions driven, right? We're all the time looking for problems to solve. Sometimes, as my wife says, I'm going to tell you a problem, but I don't want your answer or your solution for it. You know, it's just the kind of habit of an inquisitive innovator and engineer, I guess.
And you know, you mentioned, you know, you are an engineer and you've worked at multinationals, but you're also a serial startup founder. Where do you think this kind of entrepreneurial spirit has come from?
Yeah, I suppose my journey in engineering was not the way most young people do it these days. I left school when I was 16 and trained as a draftsman on drawing boards, you know, before CAD systems, way before CAD systems, and sort of got into engineering at sort of really at a base level, and worked my way up, did my engineering qualifications through night school, I worked additional areas of robotics and automation that I was interested in. I studied in that area. And so I've been working since I was 16 in engineering and kind of have a pretty good handle on it. So having worked, when I was a young guy in London, I really just went where the money was. You know, Petrochem, the North Sea oil had just sort of kicked off. So there was a lot of money in Petrochem. So I worked in the Petrochem industry. Then I went across into aerospace and then I worked in robotics and automation, which were very interesting. And then finally into the sort of medical side and med tech, drug delivery. So always driven by inquisitive mind, I guess. I always want to see how things go together, how they work, and see if I could improve them. I was saying to you earlier, if I'm sitting around an airport, I'm always looking at how the roof structure's built. Why did they do it like that? Why is the beam going in that direction? What's the load it's carrying? Why is the dustbin made the way it is? Couldn't they have done it a different way? And it's just the way, I guess, my mind ticks along.
You're a natural problem solver. That's what you're kind of...
I think so, Dave. I try not to be annoyingly so, because if people tell me their problems or issues they've got, I don't want to always be throwing up answers. But I guess I get dragged into a lot of things, not just in work, you know, and sort of community. And I'm not sort of deterred by difficult situations, I guess. I kind of like challenges, you know, in the med tech world or in the area I am now. I like it because we, Aerogen, develop the best technology in the world for aerosolizing drugs. And we are the world leader in aerosol drug delivery in the acute care, in the hospital and in the ICU. So, you know, that's been number one in the world. That's really, I guess, what really attracts me, taking on big, bold challenges and trying to be the best in the world at it. We're first in the world to be able to aerosolize drugs effectively to neonates and early stage babies, prems. No one else was doing that at the time. I guess we from Aerogen's viewpoint, we've grown to treat over, our products have been used to treat maybe 20 million patients around the world in ICUs predominantly. So these are pretty sick people. These are not someone who's woke up on a Monday morning with a hangover. These are people on life support ventilation. So we've had quite a profound impact across the globe with the benefit of our products, with several fold improvement in drug delivery over what was done before we arrived on the scene.
Did you say that your products have helped 20 million people? Is that
yes.
Right?
Yeah, that's correct. We're, as I say, we're the world leader in the field of aerosol drug delivery on ventilated patients. So if someone's sick enough that they have to go on a life support ventilator, anywhere in the world, the chances are they're going to be using Aerogen systems developed in Galway for aerosolizing the drug treatment to those patients. And we've partnered with all the major, like GE, Medtronic, Philips, all the major medical companies. They all use our drug delivery system. We're kind of, and we designed it into their ventilators, so it's kind of like an Intel inside, if you like. Aerogen's inside all the world's leading vents.
Knowing that you've had such a positive impact, but you still seem to have this aspiration to do more and help more, it's just really interesting to hear. Like, how does that make you feel when you reflect back on that?
Do you know, you don't need an excuse for getting up and going to work in the morning. Let's put it that way. I'm always interested in what we're doing, and yeah, we do have a profound impact. I mean, this, you know, of those 20 million people, I'm sure there's a lot of them walking around today that might not have been, had our products not been available. So that's, you know, I say to everyone at work, you know, when I give my quarterly updates, I say, you know, 20 million is a big number to think of. But if you thought that we made the difference on the outcomes for one person, and the one product we built made that difference, wouldn't it be worth it? Whereas, you know, we're fortunate we've been able to make a difference for such a large number of people. So it's a privilege, really. It's to be in that position, and it does drive me on to want to do more, and again, take on challenges that other people and other companies haven't been able to solve particularly. And Aerogen, that's what we're about. We were the first during COVID, for example, the COVID pandemic. Aerogen never shut its doors. We stayed open all the way through before the vaccines were available. And, you know, because our products were on demand, much as everybody heard about shortage of life support ventilators around the world, and they were in huge demand. Virtually all of those ventilators required our systems for drug delivery. So we were working round the clock, and we had engineers and scientists packing boxes on lines to try and take the pressure off our manufacturing. But, you know, I'm proud to say we never stopped shipping. We shipped all the way through COVID, and we shipped to every country when there were restrictions. Some countries stopped shipment of medical products, you know, outside their own borders. We certainly never did that. We made sure that all our customers all over the world got product, however we could get it to them, which was a big challenge, obviously, with a lot of our product, because it's small, high value, it tends to go in the cargo hold of passenger aircraft. So, of course, when they all got grounded, it was everybody was clamoring to get on cargo flights. And yeah, it was difficult times. But again, it was, you know, rewarding times for us. I think everybody who worked for Aerogen knew that we were having an important role during that period. So yeah, but very, very rewarding. And I think through that period, and you know, when you really see the value of your, or how well your operation works, it's you can't tell when times are, everything's running smoothly and hunky dory. It's really when there's crisis that you see how your organization steps up and responds. You know, when we talk about values and purpose, I think we certainly got that at Aerogen.
You've touched on a couple of things, and one thing I wanted to bring this back to is, you know, COVID-19, because from what I've seen since COVID-19, you know, 3-4 years ago now, it's probably more 4 years ago at this point, which feels kind of crazy to say, but there has been a lot more interest and investment in life sciences. And there, the investment in life sciences seem to be soaring at the moment. Is COVID-19 the main source of this interest in life sciences right now? Or are there other contributing factors that are helping to grow the industry right now and put an emphasis on the importance of continued development and innovation in this area?
Yeah, you know, COVID, the pandemic was certainly a catalyst. There was a lot of interest, you know, from the financial markets in investing in companies that, and not all medtech, you know, benefited during COVID. I mean, if you were involved in orthopedics, for example, and, you know, knees, hips, that sort of thing, replacements, when all those elective surgeries were cancelled, I mean, that wasn't very good for those businesses. But if you were involved in the sort of acute care side, and, you know, we were right at the front end, as I say, we probably had more impact in terms of our products than any other company in the world with certainly a ventilated patients that were in ICUs. But so there was big interest in that respiratory area. But, you know, markets have their fads. And I think medtech is interesting in general to the investment world because it's steady, right? Once you get products on the market, generally speaking, the medtech industry is pretty steady growth and development. So it's a safe bet for... it's a place where there's a lot of innovation, but innovation and adoption into the markets take time, regulatory reasons, obviously. And so, you know, it's normally a pretty safe place for your money. You know, if you look at sort of other areas of investment, they are a bit more lumpy in terms of ups and downs. And so it's horses for courses, but medtech will always get good funding because, you know, people who want to place their money with safe, relatively safe, steady growth over many years will always turn to have medtech in their portfolio.
This is really interesting because, you know, whenever I think about like medtech, I always think like, you know, this is an incredibly competitive environment, but it seems like there's still so much room for growth and development. So for you and for Aerogen in particular, like how do you continue to stand out from your competitors? You've spoken a lot about aiming to be the world leaders and the best in the industry. Like how do you kind of achieve that goal in an increasingly competitive space?
Yeah, well, again, looking for big challenges and going after them. I mean, it's in medtech, with bioinnovating, Galway, I don't know if you've heard of that, though, but bioinnovate is like, came out of Stanford Biodesign. It's really a great idea, but it's bringing together people from engineering, sciences, medical, clinical, and business, and sort of hothousing them, if you like, for a period of a year in the medtech environment, and getting them to look for problems and then try and look for solutions to those problems. There are loads of problems to be solved. You know, you can't go into a hospital, or I wouldn't be able, without coming out with ideas, going to see a customer, I've more ideas on products. We've made huge advances in med tech and in pharmaceutics in the last 20, 30, 40 years. But, you know, the speed of increase in development of technologies is increasing all the time. And that's happening in medtech as well. And, you know, so I don't think we'll ever run out of opportunities. What I say to people in bioinnovate is, you know, in medtech generally, they say what you should do is look for unmet clinical needs and try to solve them. And I just say, yeah, look for unrecognized unmet clinical needs. They're even better. You know, sometimes if you unmet clinical needs, people see that might be obvious and might be talked about, and there'll be lots of people engaged in trying to solve them. I always think if you look for an unrecognized unmet need, it's a bit like Apple, right? Nobody would have thought that we needed iPads or you know, no keypad, etc. It was only when it's delivered to the market and you create the need or the want there yourself. And I think that can happen in medtech as well. A lot of the time people don't realize, they accept that this is the way something's done. But if you can see a way to create a solution for something that isn't even recognized necessarily as a problem, that's a great place to start.
A quick pause in today's podcast. Are you interested in getting involved in the Digital Irish community? We are looking for people to join us at events, join on the podcast, and also help with J1s who are now coming over this summer to the US. If you are interested in joining this community, even just connecting with others, check out digitalirish.com or email hello@digitalirish.com. Now back to the interview. So much of this innovation in the industry, not just from Aerogen, but from others, is coming from Ireland. Like I recently read that in Ireland, 50,000 people are employed across medical devices, pharma, and biotech. The exports exceed 45 million euro annually. And not only this, but...
Billion.
45 yeah. billion. But not only this, all but one of the world's 25 largest biotech and pharma companies have significant presence in Ireland. So what is it about Ireland that enables us to be a major market in this industry?
Yeah, well, yeah, historically, if you go back, when did medtech and when did pharma, really life sciences together, if you like, get motoring in Ireland? And it's probably just over 30 years ago. You know, again, the Irish government, I always think, because Ireland is a relatively small economy, the government can run that economy a bit like a business. And you can look, where are the opportunities? And Ireland has done particularly well with that IDA and Enterprise Ireland, saying where will we concentrate our resources? And they've done that in the electronics and telecoms industry in the past, you know, when they brought Digital, Wang, these companies into Ireland, and initially for manufacturing for Europe, but then sort of set up very meaningful R&D presence. And so that sort of spurred the technology industry within Ireland. And then we've done it with aerospace as well. And then medtech came along, and a lot of the skills that you use in those other industries, aerospace, computer industries are applicable in med tech. So we had people that had experiences in the sort of multinational world of, at the highest level in technologies. And then we, those technologies then in med tech were applicable, and American particularly companies seeing that Ireland was a great sort of launch pad for Europe, young workforce, well-educated, lots of people from coming out with qualifications in the STEM area. So we've got a very good English speaking, of course, and so we've got a very good offering, if you like, for overseas companies to come and set up and, in Ireland. And indeed, we attract a huge proportion, more than we than our size that we should, for inward investment into Ireland. So, yeah, I think all those things. The universities work very collaboratively with industry. We probably work with every single third level institution in Ireland, and lots of the grads coming out there, lots of research projects going on there. Very open, you know, you're never far away from, if you want to talk to government or if you want to reach someone on a subject matter, it's easily done. So it's a very good open economy. And I think particularly North America's US, it appeals to, because we have a very similar business etiquette. The way we operate is very similar. We're well-respected technology coming from Ireland. So I think all things make it a good place for manufacturing and engineering and R&D. And obviously the same thing applies in the sciences, as we move from really being API drug producers. And, you know, we're looking now with companies coming in that are working in the biopharmaceutics and genetics and the like. So we're evolving. The industry is evolving all the time. We're trying to stay up with that, I guess, as a country. And that's why we've done well with the jobs and with the exports.
You know, you've touched on something there as well, which was going to be my next question, of like, how does Ireland kind of continue to maintain this leading position in the market for life sciences?
All the things I talked about, the government, the ecosystem of the universities, the openness of the hospital research labs. Here in Galway, you know, the university has built huge new facilities that promote research, clinical research development, brought experts in from all over the world, PhDs working here. And that's the sort of ecosystem you need to have. You need to have industry, the hospitals, the universities, the government, all working collaboratively. And I think we have it here. And so I think that will keep generating further business and further developments. And as you see, you know, as we start getting more with connected health, and you see the sort of software type industries coming into med tech, and you've got wearable devices and diagnostic wearable devices, all of these industries are coming together. We cross, you know, as I said, being a drug delivery company, we work in pharmaceutics as well as working in devices. And you see that amalgamation of technologies is working very well here.
When you were talking about like the impact that Ireland is having, you mentioned the work of the likes of the IDA and, of course, Enterprise Ireland. Enterprise Ireland was, you know, how the two of us got introduced, of course. And so, you know, how has the support from Enterprise Ireland helped with the growth and the progress in this industry at the moment?
You know, Enterprise Ireland should be praised, and IDA, small organisations relatively, but the amount of impact they have, I mean, I think they're gold standard for other countries come here to look, how does Ireland do it? And really, those people, all of them I've met across both organisations, are top-notch individuals, really dedicated to go the extra mile for Ireland to try and attract business and try and, once, you know, with companies in Ireland with EI, looking all the time at how they can support those companies to scale, to get out and to export markets. We're a small economy ourselves, relatively small economy in Ireland, but you know, Europe's a big economy and America's a big economy, and they're very open to Irish product and Irish technologies. And Enterprise Ireland do a great job. If you're looking to any country, we're all over. Our products are probably used in about 70, 80 countries around the world now, and we have direct commercial organizations in Germany, the UK, US, France, and then distributors in other major countries. We have hubs in Dubai, in China, in India. So IDA is, and Enterprise Ireland are always very helpful when you're moving into a new country, looking to give you a good idea of local environment, local contacts. So they do a great job in terms of that outreach. And if you're in med tech, there's a term used in Ireland, and that's born global, you know, because you can't, if you set up a med tech company in Germany or the UK or America, your first focus will inevitably be your local market. If you're in America, you'll start in your state and then you'll move out across, you know, the regions of America before you really approach export. Whereas Ireland, we have to think export first and foremost. You know, we would very much, every product we develop, we think first and foremost America and Europe as our primary markets. And I think that gives us an advantage because everybody here is used to dealing internationally. And sometimes that isn't the case. If you come from a big economy yourself, you mightn't be, and your people mightn't be as used to dealing in international business. Whereas everybody in business, in manufacturing and operations like ours in Ireland would be, all of them would be used to working and dealing with international markets.
This is fascinating. And, you know, thinking of if anybody is, you know, listening to this and they're like, you know, life sciences is something that they are passionate about, but don't know where to like kick off or kickstart, whether that be, you know, starting something themselves or figuring out, a career path for themselves. Is there any advice that you would give to somebody listening to this podcast now?
Yeah, well, I'd say first and foremost, life sciences is a fantastic area. I've been fortunate enough, you know, I've worked for how many years, 40 or more years in technology industries. And med tech and life sciences are the most rewarding I've ever worked in. I knew once I got involved in it, I would never work in another area because it's not everything you can do when you go to work every day and really know that what you're doing that day has a profound impact on patient and people's lives. And that's a great honor and a great privilege, I'd say, to any of our young people who are working in the company. I say, you know, how privileged we are to be able to have an impact. So I think, also, whereas we employ our Aerogen, you know, we're very technology driven, we're very sciencey company, engineering. We probably spent 60 million in the past 4 or 5 years in R&D and clinical work ourselves. But we also have a need, obviously, for people in finance, people in marketing, in commercial. So there is roles for everybody in our industry. You know, we go from all the way from ideas on a scrap of paper through to design, prototyping, manufacturing. We have our own manufacturing sites here in Ireland. Then you move into commercial, regulatory, sales, marketing, all of the activities of big huge multinationals, but you know, you can experience that in a smaller company. I think if you get to a size, like Aerojet employs about 500 people around the world, probably 320 in Ireland, maybe 330. But you get to experience every aspect of an enterprise with Aerojet. You see it from products from start all the way through to finish. And I think that's very rewarding. And there's opportunities for people, regardless of their backgrounds and their academic qualifications. You can find a role in life sciences, I think.
That's fantastic. And, you know, I wanted to bring this back to you and to Aerojet as well, because, you know, obviously you still have aspirations to be a world leader and to continue innovating. But, you know, what are you most excited about? What does success look like for you in 2024 and beyond?
Yeah, well, I think as we talked about at the front end, you know, we I'm driven by being first in the world. That kind of really appeals to me. And we did that with our delivery systems for ventilated patients. We have our own. We did it during COVID. We brought the world's first inhaled vaccine product to market just at the end of COVID. With a partnered company, we got an approved inhaled vaccine that used 1/5 of the dose of the injected vaccine with a far stronger therapeutic impact. And basically, you took one breath of the aerosolized vaccine and you triggered an immune response that was far greater than T-cell response than the injected vaccine, because in that case, we were solving everybody's solution to the pandemic or to coronavirus was stick an injection into someone with the vaccine. And we think, well, why would you? This is a lung-borne infection. It comes in through the airways, propagates in the airways and the lung, and then becomes multi-organ and organ issue and out into the bloodstream. Why wouldn't you try and trigger the immunoresponse in the airways where the vaccine comes? And that's exactly what we did with our partner, and it was approved, and there was, I think, around 30 to 40 million people were vaccinated through the inhaled route during the pandemic. So first in the world again, you know, first world in the world for an inhaled vaccine. And we have our own pharmaceutics program where we've developed a delivery system for surfactant for premature babies. You know, prem babies are the most delicate patient type you can ever imagine. You know, you could hold one in the palm of your hand. And unfortunately, when a prem baby is born, a natural protein phospholipid called surfactant, it isn't present in their lung. And that's really the lubricant of the lung that allows the sort of blood gas exchange and the expansion of the lungs and alveoli. For some years, I suppose the last about 40 years ago, surfactants extracted from the lungs of cattle or pigs has been used to treat prem babies, and it's been instilled, poured through a tube into their lungs. Pretty barbaric, invasive process, but it's had a profound impact in improving mortality rates for premature babies. So we've been looking at this and saying, well, why can't we aerosolize this surfactant and get it into the lungs of the baby without having to intubate them? We've been funding our clinical trials on that. We've just finished a phase 2b trial, and we think we're going to show a really profound difference in terms of reduction of the need to intubate prem babies and all the complications that go with that in after the treatment. And yeah, that drives us. That's the sort of thing that gets me up in the morning. And if we can have an impact there to the very most fragile life we have, which is the early term baby, I think that would be a great thing. And it'd be great if an Irish company could be the one that brings that to market.
That would be incredible. I mean, that is honestly, you know, you said it perfectly there. These are the most delicate lives, and to have an impact as positive as that, and not just the impact on their lives, but on the parents' lives and their families and everything else, like just incredible aspirations with potentially like fantastic and really and truly like life altering results, you know. It's absolutely incredible to hear. I've really found this fascinating, and I'm truly taken aback, especially by that mission there. So John, I just want to thank you so much again for taking out the time, because with everything that you're doing and with the scale with Aerogen are working at and with everything that you're doing, I just know how busy you are. So truly, thank you for taking out the time to talk to us and for coming on the podcast today.
Dave, I really enjoyed the conversation, and actually, as I said to you at the front end of it, I've got a day off today. I'm heading out now to Connemara and hopefully go out for a swim in the ocean there. It's a beautiful sunny day here. So thanks again for the conversation, and for talking to you again, I'm sure.
Absolutely, and it sounds like you deserve a day off, so please do enjoy it, and thank you again.
Thanks, Dave.
And that is it for today's episode. A massive thank you again to John Power for joining us. Really insightful and just truly inspirational to see the impact of Aerogen. Also, a massive thank you to our partners in today's podcast, Enterprise Ireland. Please do check out the work that Enterprise Ireland are doing to help grow the life sciences industry amongst many, many other industries and many other companies around the world. If you like this podcast, don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast. And please do share with anybody that you think may find it interesting. Our next podcast will drop in 3 weeks' time. Until then, thanks for listening.